So as we begin talking about the Ten Commandments, we have a bit of a problem. And our problem is that while we have just gone through what the Ten Commandments are and being able to list them, and hopefully, you're going to go home. I know you're going to go home today and you're going to be like, no other gods, okay. You know, you're going to go through, you're going to be doing these things with your hands to remember them. It's one thing to know what they are. It's another thing to know what they are. Like, what are these things that are the Ten Commandments? I mean, we have these great cultural images of, you know, Charlton Heston and holding up the Ten Commandments and all of these things. And they're like this thing. But what are they? And what do we do with them? Because we can only know what to do with something when we know what it is. And so my goal for the fall, then, as we go, we're 6 weeks. Today is the first of 6 weeks. My goal for the fall is that are threefold. One is that you'd be able to name them, right? That you would be more familiar with the Ten Commandments than you are with the ingredients in a Big Mac. All right? So that would be a plus. Second, that you would understand them. And not just understand, what does it mean not to kill or to commit adultery, but that you would understand how they're relevant for us. And what we're going to find is that they're deeper than we might think just reading them. And third, then, that as we understand them, that we would become more able together as a community to embody them, to live them. Commandments were always meant to be lived out in a deep heart way. And so this morning we're going to talk simply about what the Ten Commandments are. And we're going to start in the book of Exodus, chapter 19. This is the chapter before we first meet the Ten Commandments. We meet the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, although I'm going to be preaching from Deuteronomy 5 this fall, which is when Moses preaches the Ten Commandments. But Exodus 19 is important because they frame them. They introduce what these Ten Commandments are, and not only what the commandments are, but who the people are who are going to receive the commandments, and who the God is who's giving them to them. So, Exodus 19, verse 1. On the third new moon after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." And we're going to take a moment and look at some other commands, another list of commands from Colossians, because they all come from the same God and the same heart. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if any has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So you see, there's commandments from beginning to end. God has given us words, and that's what the Ten Commandments are, actually. They're in Exodus, it doesn't say commandments, it says words. These are words that the Lord has given you to follow. God has given us instruction from beginning to end on how to live as human beings that God has made and loved. And so this morning, I want to frame the Ten Commandments in three ways. I've had a lot of help in this, done a lot of study on this, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to preach on them, because, again, I think the Ten Commandments, again, they're kind of there in our minds, but I think there's better ways of getting them down into our souls. And so the first thing that the Ten Commandments are is that they are ways to live as free people. That's from a preacher in New York named Rich Velotis. And another scholar named Walter Brueggemann says something very similar. He says they're strategies for staying emancipated. It's a mouthful. So ways to live as free people, strategies for staying emancipated. And you can see, I mean, these are two different ways of saying the same thing, really, and two different ways of putting the Ten Commandments in the context of this Exodus story. Because that's so important. It's so important that we don't just take the Ten Commandments and rip them out of their context and say, okay, this is a moral code for how you live. No, this is ways to live as free people, strategies for staying emancipated for a community of people who had spent the last centuries enslaved in a pagan culture. So Rich Velotis brings this out. He says the Ten Commandments were given not to free the people of God, but to show what free people look like. At the core, they are to show God's character. They are given a new identity, and they are given a new mission. The new identity is shaped by God, and their new mission is to show the world what God looks like. And so we have this tendency, again, to take these out and say that this is an objective moral code law for all people in all times. But I think first, before we get there, I think this is wisdom for all times and all places and people, but before we get there, we have to understand it as specific wisdom to treat hearts that have been shaped by the trauma of slavery and the particular culture of pagan Egypt. Brueggemann goes through the Ten Commandments and says there are really three ways, he calls them three strategies, for staying emancipated once they got away from Pharaoh. He says, if we think about these three strategies in the Ten Commandments, each of them contrasts with the way of Pharaoh. So apart from reading them on their own, we have to read them in the context, in comparison to how the Israelites were used to living as slaves under Pharaoh in Egypt. And we will look at those dynamics as we work through the commandments this fall. And so there's this contradiction as we come to these commandments, because in our culture, commandments seem just constricting and oppressive inherently. Like we have this impulse, as you know, it goes back to, it's in our DNA as a country at the very least. We basically started as a country because we said, yeah, George, you can't tell us what to do over here. We don't like being your colonies. We want to decide for ourselves how to live, right? So we have in our DNA this spirit that says, no one's going to command me anything. And so it's strange to say that, to use commandments and freedom in the same context. But what we have to realize to resolve this contradiction is that we are already enslaved. The commandments of God are not enslaving or oppressing or restricting us. The problem is that we already have hearts that are shaped as slaves to other things. So God has emancipated, liberated the Hebrew people from Egypt, but that doesn't mean their hearts aren't still shaped by the ways that they've been learning for generation upon generation and upon generation. They still have the heart of slaves. You can see it because they get out into the wilderness and they're like, I don't know, this seems kind of hard. I think I'd rather go back to Egypt, where at least I knew where my next meal was coming from. Right? That's a slave's heart, where it says, no, maybe we actually need our masters. Maybe we actually need Pharaoh. As hard as it was, maybe that's better than being free in this new reality of liberation, right? So we too already have ways that we are enslaved to our culture, to our own physical desires, to a variety of things. And so we have to understand that when we receive commandments from the Lord, these are liberating because God is a liberator. God doesn't want to oppress us or restrict us or constrain us, only to the extent that God wants us to be free. Freedom, according to the scriptures, is not about being able to have every option available to us. Right? We know that that can be oppressive in itself. I mean, you go to a restaurant sometimes, you ever feel oppressed by the options you have in a menu? Oh man, I could get any one of 600, you could just keep turning pages, sandwiches, burgers, pasta dishes. Like, you go through it and it's like, oh my gosh, I have every option I could have and I have no way of deciding, right? So having every option available to us, far from being freedom, isn't quite so great. That's not what freedom is. Freedom is about living in a reality that gives us the most opportunity to be fully who we were made to be. This is freedom. Freedom is being able to live in a situation where I can become everything God made me to be. And to get there, we might have to have some instruction, some wisdom, some guidance from the one who made us to be that. So first, the commandments are ways to live as free people, strategies for staying emancipated, spoken to recently liberated slaves. Second, then, Eugene Peterson calls these conditions for community. Conditions for community. He writes this: the 10 words establish the conditions necessary for a free, loving, and just community of God's people to develop and flourish. He acknowledges that community is intricate and complex. How many of us think community is pretty easy? How many of us don't have any issues getting along with our family or with our neighbors or with, you know, people, you know, from other... How good are we at getting together internationally with other... it's hard. It's intricate and complex. It is not easy and it is not simple, he says. The conditions established by the 10 words at least make it possible. He says, none of the conditions is onerous. All are both necessary and non-negotiable. And so he says, basically, these are how we live as human beings together. We need these. We need help doing it. Just going about life and saying, I'm just going to get what I want and see what happens, is not probably the best way to live in community. And so there are three things I want to say about this real quick before moving on from this point. First, when we use the word conditions, I have to make very clear, right? All right, let's let it go by. Fire truck, let's pray for whoever is on the receiving end of that truck right now. They might be protected. Okay. Thankfully, living so close to a fire station, we don't often have that during our worship services. But when we do. All right, so three things I want to say. First, when we talk about conditions, these are not conditions for being loved by God. We are essentially and irrevocably loved by God. In fact, and this is where it's important again to remember, God did not go to the people in Egypt, enslaved and working and making bricks and all of this stuff, and say, hey, here's 10 commandments. Once you do these, then I'll get you out, right? No. God heard their cries, their groans with compassion and liberated them from Egypt. They were already loved. They were already chosen. They were already made God's people. And now they are given conditions for community. So it's not about their essential belovedness, but for achieving a purpose and mission that God has for them. And this is what we read in Exodus 19. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. The whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom. That is an inherently mission-oriented idea. You will be a kingdom that bridges the distance between me and all the other kingdoms of the world. That's what a priest does. A priest is a go-between. We've talked about this many times, just reviewing. Priest is a go-between. So the Hebrew people are meant to reflect God to the nations and bring the prayers and needs of the nations to God. And if they're going to do that, These are the ways that they need to live. A holy nation, a nation set apart for this purpose. Israel wasn't elect for their own sake. They were elect for the sake of all of humanity. That's what it means to be holy and set apart. We are chosen for all the world, that what God has given us, we might share and proclaim and offer. So that's what God is saying in Exodus 19. Okay, I've done this great work in liberating you. Now it's time to get to work, and here's how to do it. So they're not conditions for being loved. They're conditions if these people are going to achieve the purpose God has given them. They're also not an individual moral code in the sense that, I mean, we can't control what everyone else is. All we can control is what we do, right? So in that sense, it's individual. But these commandments are essentially communal. They're about how to be together. They're about how to live in proximity to one another. This is how the people of God live together. And so, again, taking them as just my own personal, I'm just going to follow the Ten Commandments, that's going to be it. It doesn't do the job. It's about what we agree to, what we covenant to together as human beings in order to live the life that God has called us to live together as a community. And finally, the third mini point here is that the Ten Commandments are not the core and center of the Christian or Jewish life. And you'll hear that, what does it mean to be a Christian? You follow the Ten Commandments. No. Yeah, I mean, yes, you should follow the Ten Commandments, but it's not the core, it's not the center. It's kind of like a fence around a big property. And that fence, the action on the property does not take place around the fence, right? Usually. Sometimes it might get there, but usually it doesn't. The action in a home where love and it's the hearth, right? It's the house. It's where the people are actually living most of their lives together. That's where the core is of the property. The fence is just to make sure we don't get too far out of bounds. So whether we have an animal, or whether we have a kids, or whether it's to make sure that we're kind of staying within the parameters. And that's the Ten Commandments. It's the fence on the outside of the community. It's like, these are the basic conditions. If we don't have these, we're in real trouble. But just because we have these doesn't mean we've gotten to the core of it. There's something deeper, and the commandments kind of get us in the right direction. But as we'll see with Jesus preaching, you know, he'll say, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But what I tell you is this. And he goes deeper. He goes deeper than that. And so, and even the commands in Colossians that we read, right? Those were a step deeper than the Ten Commandments are. Right? Do not murder. Okay. Good. Please obey that. But bear with one another in love. Forgive as God has forgiven. That's another step in how I love my neighbor from just not killing them. Make sense? Make sense? Okay. So they're conditions for community. And third and finally, the Ten Commandments are windows into God's heart and dream. God's heart is to be in community with and to have a community of humans who reflect the divine character to one another and exercise dominion over creation in a way that is like God, creative and conducive to the flourishing of life. That has always been God's heart and God's dream from the beginning. And what God is doing is saying, I'm not giving up on that dream. I made human beings in my image to reign over the creation creatively and for the flourishing of all things. And now I'm establishing this community. We've gotten off track, but now I'm reestablishing a community of humans who will image me to all the creation, who will reign with justice, love, and peace, who will promote the flourishing and creativity of all creation. That's what I'm getting back to. And so again, we go back to Colossians 3 and we see, again, a deeper and even deeper window. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Do you hear the echoes of this, right? A holy nation. They're already loved and liberated. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We can see the movement of God's work. towards this community that will be the people that Adam and Eve were always meant to be, that humanity was always meant to be. And the Ten Commandments give us a bit of a window. Again, the window isn't the thing that we're looking at. We look through the window. The window puts certain things into focus for us. We look through the window at the beauty of what's beyond it. The Ten Commandments are like the window. We look through it to the heart of God and see, what does this help us to see about God's character and God's dream for humanity? And so, friends, if we have thought about the Ten Commandments, or not thought about them very much, because we were kind of like, well, don't kill, got it, good. We're going to need to dive a little bit deeper. We're going to dive a little bit deeper this fall. And as we dive deeper, and as we dive deeper into the heart of God, as we dive deeper into what it means to be community, as we dive deeper into what it means to be liberated and free people, you will not be disappointed. As we follow the Lord's wisdom and his commands, we are able to live more freely and fully in God's vision for our humanity, for our church, and for our world. Let's pray. God of love and grace and freedom, just as you liberated the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt and formed them into community, so you have liberated us from the fear and oppression of sin and death through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And by your Spirit, we have become the church, a community meant to be a priestly people, that the world might see you and know your love through us, through our churches. God, help us to release any unhelpful ideas we have about your commands, about the Ten Commandments, and about what the Christian life is, and help us to receive the gift of your wisdom and to become better able to follow in your ways and to live out your purpose for us. We pray it all in the name of Jesus, our liberator, our Savior. Amen.